And good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is May 9th, 2026. Welcome you folks out there. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Hey, good morning.
And Tim, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning, please, sir?
Lord, be delighted. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We just pray that you would quicken this broadcast, Lord, that you would give us words to speak and thoughts from your mind to ours. Lord, that you would open ears, minds, hearts, and eyes, Lord, that people might see the enemy for what he is and the victor, Jesus Christ, for what he is. And that, Lord, we might learn understanding, that you might grant us wisdom, Lord. We're told to pray for wisdom. I pray for your people, Lord, that you would protect them, build a shelter around them, send your angels, Lord, just guide and direct them in all that they do and prosper them in all of their ways, that you might receive the honor and the glory for those things. Bless our families and our homes, Lord, as we seek to bring this about. Defend us, O Lord, in the heavenly court of divine justice. We just ask that bless us again. We thank you for your son's sacrifice. And Lord, make your enemies your footstool and let us live to see it. We just thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 Well, men, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Where would you guys like to start?
Well, I guess, are we still at war? Does anybody know? Is that a...
I don't know. I heard the war is over, but it sure doesn't seem like it.
it
doesn't seem like it. But...
declared? Yeah.
Right. The war that's not a war, are we still fighting that war?
Yeah.
I don't know. Tim, I know you got some info on that, but I know... it really hadn't. I mean, it seems like they keep wanting to tell us all about the Strait of Hormuz, but it still sure seems like Israel is doing what they do in Lebanon, doesn't it, Tim?
Yes. Yeah, there's, they're just continuing to, Israel's basically hitting Lebanon pretty hard over there. I mean, and it's really strange to me that, what would you want to say? Basically, Netanyahu says, well, we're not talking about a ceasefire, player. I mean, that's kind of the short version of it, but how very strange. And, of course, the Israel lie is that they're after, the terrorists over there in Lebanon, but my goodness, they're doing the same thing there they did in Gaza. They're just going into these population centers and blowing up things and destroying things. And, isn't that odd? I mean, it's almost like it's the same playbook, right?
They're destroying all the things that they need for life, like hospitals and electrical substations and, water facilities, water treatment facilities and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, it sure, kind of like in Gaza when all of the Gazans were leaving the area. Well, they were trying not to get killed, and the ones that did stay and toughed out the initial onslaughts and attacks, well, there was nothing left to support them. There was no water. There was no electricity. There was no, grocery stores. The embargo had happened at the coast so that no international food supplies could come in. So what do? Well, they leave. That's the only way they become exiles. And I think that's what they're trying to do in Lebanon as well, Tim. I think they're trying to create that environment, that same old playbook where these Lebanese people there on the coast, they have to go somewhere else or die. And when they do, those bulldozers show up, and Greater Israel becomes more and more of a reality.
Yeah, I mean, if you really boil this all down, what you're looking at here is just a giant land grab. That's what it is. I mean, they're just out there. You know, if we want that, we're going to take it. It's forced by arms. It's not a defense against Hormuz, it's not a defense against Hezbollah or whatever. It's just a, hey, we
Hamas,
want that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so they're just, and according to videos that you can watch if you want to get online and do a little dig, and you'll find them. But the damage over there is, it's pretty intense. And we all know that, you know, Hezbollah's elite people all hang out in, you know, markets and hospitals and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying they don't exist, and I'm not saying I'm not supporting them. I'm not saying I like anything about what they do. I think really my opinion is it's like two sides of the same coin. So it's all a bad penny, you know, but yeah. So
yeah.
I, you know, I have no doubt that they'd probably push them out too. It's just who pushes first, you know. That's the other thing that's not really said is, I'm sure there's bad blood there, and there has been for a very long time. And it's not hard to understand the whys or some of that stuff if you really look into it. I mean, but it's all about connections and money flow and those sort of things. So, you know. But, yeah, definitely Lebanon is like, well, let's take a break from this over here. And it's like, yeah, you guys do that. We're going to jump on Lebanon over here. So it's definitely geopolitical. So.
Well, and I still think that there's a lot of stuff going on over there that they're not even letting us know about, too.
That's a agreed point. Yeah, whatever they say, there's more.
But, you know, I mean, it's who has control of Hormuz? It's, I mean, you can find half a dozen or a dozen conflicting stories on just that aspect of it. And it's like, what do we really know? Somebody says that, okay, we have control of it. Then they say they have control of it. I mean, there's just a lot of crazy conflicting information coming out on the whole thing.
I got one for you.
Okay.
As far as conflicting information, this kind of broke a little bit late, and you guys may have heard of it, but supposedly there was a Chinese oil tanker that was hit in the Strait of Hormuz as it was trying to cross. And this became a big deal for a few hours that Iran had attacked a Chinese flag oil tanker, and China and Iran are friendly. Well, that was overnight. This morning, it's now that it was not a Chinese tanker.
It was a U.S.
It was actually an Iranian.
Oh, okay.
No, it was an Iranian oil tanker. It was an Iranian oil tanker carrying Iranian oil to China that the Iranians attacked, which makes no sense at all.
No, it doesn't.
And, right. And the Chinese are coming out and saying, we don't know anything. We're not expecting this tanker to come to us, and we don't have a tanker in the Strait of Hormuz. So there's probably – I don't even know if there was an oil tanker hit. That's how convoluted everything is that we're getting fed. I don't know.
Is this the same one Trump was out there saying that the warships came under fire by lunatics? Or was that something? Okay.
Yes, the lunatic comment. Yeah. There's three U.S. destroyers that came under fire. Well, yeah, they came under fire because the three destroyers were, you know, shooting missiles at different ships. So I don't know. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, Iran says the U.S. violated the ceasefire. U.S. forces say that ceasefire was not violated. The attacks, they're saying that we attacked this. They're saying, or we're saying that we didn't. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a mess.
Well, there's confusion all over the place. The war we don't call a war, the tanker that wasn't attacked, the ceasefire that isn't happening. I mean, it's like, wow. No clarity.
Well, yeah. Meanwhile, it's like, okay, like Will said earlier, is it over? Are we in? Are we still in a war? But it wasn't a war, but it just seemed like a war. You know, how about, you know, one of the big questions is, when is fuel prices going to come back down?
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like that's going to happen any time in the near future.
Gee, are we shocked? It's like everything. Go ahead,
here locally, see what's happening in y'all's neighborhoods. The price of diesel has dropped about 70 cents here per gallon, but the price of unleaded gasoline has jumped about 80 cents.
So tit for tat.
Yeah, we haven't. Right. I haven't seen the diesel prices drop here. They're higher than a cat's back.
And they're high here.
Yeah, too. Just the last few days, we've seen the diesel prices drop. But like I said, we went from $3.40, $3.39 a gallon for regular unleaded to where it's $4.20, $4.30 a gallon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. You know, it's the same old, you know, it's the same old shtick. I mean, if you want to get to it, but. You know, remember a year and a half ago, everybody was like, fuel prices are too high. And, of course, then we see something like this happen, and we get this big jump. And then if they bring them down 40 or 50 cents a gallon, everybody's like, well, at least we're getting some relief. And it's like, it's still 75 cents or a dollar higher than it was a year and a half ago, and it was too high then. But it's like people's memories get, I don't know what happens to them. They get reprogrammed or distorted or something, you know. It's just, and in the meantime, it affects everything in your economic sphere. I mean, basically a lot of that stuff we talked about it before, but it ties into everything from groceries to, you know, shipping costs, freight costs. I mean, everything's just stupid that way. It all goes up.
Well, I'll submit this for y'all's consideration, too. Here we are about the middle of May, and this traditionally starts the driving season, right? And there are more unleaded gasoline vehicles on the road than there are diesel vehicles. And as far as consumers go, this is when people start going on vacation and traveling across the country and visiting different things as the public schools are letting out, and that typically runs between now and Labor Day. So if you were manipulating prices and ginning up crises in order to extend your profits, well, you've made your profits on the diesel as far as the food supplies and that sort of thing. Well, now you got to start hitting the other side of the coin, and that's the unleaded gasoline consumer. So I personally think over the next 4 or 5 months, you're going to see unleaded prices going through the roof because – this is the time of year that people typically drive more. Hmm. And they're going to maximize this crisis in the Middle East at the gas pumps in order to make those deep pockets a little deeper.
Good point. It really is. I mean, and very and very factual when you look at this.
Yeah.
I think it's and you know, we talk about this kind of stuff like it's some kind of a, what do you want to call it, conspiracy or some kind of plan, but, you know, you're just, like, for example, Cummins has come out with that 6.7 medium-duty octane, I think they call it, engine, which you don't just develop a new motor and put it to market in a week or two, you know, but that's a gasoline transportation engine that's supposed to replace or take place for the diesel engine. So somebody was doing some pre-planning there on the world you know, on the world stage, I think. I mean, just the signs of the time kind of thing, but makes you scratch your head.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So.
Well, switching gears a little bit, but staying with international news, let's go over to China, deportation of illegal immigrants. I thought this story was kind of interesting. First of all, I didn't know. It's like, okay, if we're deporting illegal Chinese immigrants, I really didn't think that it really mattered about what China thought about it or not. But apparently they're trying to block the U.S. from deporting illegals to China. And from what I understand, there's about 1,500 of them that we've got detained. Judges have signed orders to have about 30,000 of them deported. And they're saying that we only got 100,000 of them here in the United States, and I think that number seems low to me. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think it's probably light. So
I think it's probably more like a 500,000 or higher.
About
500. Yeah.
But anyway, I thought this was interesting, and it's like, is it a money deal or what? I mean, I know that you know, a couple of articles say that it's about all the billions of dollars that these illegals send back to their home countries. But to me, it's like, man, why, you know, it's like that shouldn't be a problem. They don't want them, so I mean, you know, I was thinking about like the, you know, the Yellville turkey shoot, just you know, get low and push them out. You know, I mean, if you want to drop them in the ocean with a life raft or something like that, but get them out.
100%, Jason. I was thinking about Chink Drop 2026. Now's the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's like, well, what was the hammer? Oh, we're going to block Chinese visitors if they keep blocking the deportation. It's like, okay, I bet that really worries
me. Yeah.
You know? So, I don't understand. Go ahead.
Stop to think about our laws and just the twisted Talmudic nonsense, whatever way you want to characterize it. So stop and think about this. We, the United States, have to have permission from the home country to deport an illegal alien to repatriate him back to his home country. But
yeah.
There was no permission granted for that illegal alien to cross into our country. So we didn't give permission, but we have to get permission in order to get them out of here. And that's the law that we live under, right? That they want us to live under, at least. That's just ridiculous. And, you know, when people read these news stories of why are we sending people to Angola? Well, it's because their home countries won't take them, and we have to have some country to deport them to. So this administration has been picking the deepest, I'm trying to think of a good way of, crap hole, on continental Africa to send them to. And, you know, we're paying them $10 million or whatever to take these people. That's why that's happening, is because you have countries like China that are refusing to take their people back. And Jason, to your point, I'm going to go back to what we were talking about a few years ago back in the Biden administration, where we were saying that they're sending their worst here. Right. They're sending their criminals and their crazy people and that sort of thing. Well, I think there's a lot of truth that's being proved out in this. And one of the reasons why China doesn't really want these people back is because these are operatives. They are, whether they're in the Chinese Tongs, the criminal gangs, or military operatives or whatever, these are assets that they don't want to repatriate because they have built up a network, a nexus of intelligence gathering and of a criminal enterprise. And it would hit them. It would hit them financially. It would hit them as far as intelligence gathering is concerned and that sort of thing. And that's the reason why they don't want to take them back, is because China has invested quite a bit of time, human resources, monetary resources, into building a network inside our country, and they don't want that dismantled. That's my opinion. But I think that's the main reason why they don't want them back.
Valid point.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Seems pretty legit to me. Yeah, exactly. And
yeah,
I'm kind of like you. How about just some life rafts in international water and give them a push toward the Chinese, toward Chinese territory and the ocean, and there you go. I mean, supposedly that's how some of them get here anyway, so it shouldn't be any big deal to them, right? Yeah,
or drop them off in the Amazon. They can start their own new community or something somewhere. Find some place that needs some replacements.
I thought it was interesting
because it was India, Laos, Vietnam. I mean, there's several other countries, too, that say that, well, it's illegal to deport illegals without the country's permission. I'm like, okay, yeah, just don't make any sense.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe like Israel needs some replacements.
One way street. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, I was thinking earlier, I'm going to jump back to this. You know, I am not about the genocide that's going on in Gaza or the genocide that they're starting in Lebanon. But if you think there's a chance that all the Jews in America would go there, because that would probably make me feel better about this situation if I thought they were going to leave here.
Yeah, I don't think that they'd like it too much, but I don't think they'd go. But boy, that'd be a dream come true, wouldn't it?
I wonder if we'll see. Maybe one day we can deport them.
That'd be all right.
Well, and we're in a situation there where basically, I mean, if you think about it, everything they've done over there, the Israelis, has been pretty much the same. I mean, it's the same playbook over and over. We'll attack them, destroy their infrastructure, this and that. And, you know, their goal is if they're like this disease that's going to travel. That's all they know how to do. If you don't think so, there's the proof right there. They don't build bridges. They don't restore anything. That's your job, your tax dollars, your foreign aid money. You can go in and rebuild it, but we're going to get the benefit of it. So, their goal would be, I don't think it's a far stretch to say, gee, that's what they want to do to you. Oh, wait, they've already said that they're going to squeeze us, use us up, and destroy us, because that's what they do to, according to, I think it was Netanyahu's own words, that's what they do to places they hate like us. So, the Bible talks about those who hate you and despitefully use you and, you know, stuff, I think, as far as how that works. So, not a far stretch.
Well, I'll go as far as saying, as far as what you're talking about, that method of war, the methodology of war, if you go back, I think one of the things I think we don't ever really think about or talk about is there was a civil war in British Palestine, and that civil war with the Jews versus the native Arab Palestinians, that was from 1947 to 1948, and the Jews that were there that were being internationally financed, they raised the civil war, and they attacked exactly what you're talking about, Tim, is the same things that they're doing now they did then. They attacked the infrastructure. They turned the lights out. It was just a guerrilla war that they fought, and they did it to interrupt the daily lives of these people so that they would leave the area. And that was kind of the methodology behind the warfare, is they were wanting these Palestinians to seek refuge in places like Jordan and Syria. And when they would leave, the Israelis would claim the ground, the Jews would claim the ground and say that it had been vacated. And they used this when they went before the international courts to lay claim that, they had fought a war and they had taken the ground. And we know what became of that, obviously, in 1948. But my point in bringing that up is not really just a history lesson as much as to say they're doing the same thing now. They're doing the exact same thing where they're using really guerrilla tactics to they're not fighting a full-on ground invasion. They're not, you know, they're not doing what we would consider to be normal warfare, you know, man versus man. What they're doing is they're severing the arteries of the lifeblood to these communities, and they're engaging in psychological warfare by destroying their places of worship and that sort of thing. And they're creating an exodus. And as the people are fleeing, they're taking the ground, and they're saying it's ours. And that's exactly what they did against the native Palestinian population of British Palestine back in 47 and 48. And the bastards are doing the same thing now.
Well, and it's not a far stretch to say that they're also attacking the, what do you want to call it, the groupings after they flee, too, you know, so that they they can't come back. I mean, you know, it's like you group them all up and it's prime target there. So now we have, I mean, you've got Syria. I mean, you're just, like you were just saying, they went to Syria, they went, now they're attacking Syria. So it's like,
Yeah.
So, and imagine the international outcry if we did that to, I don't know, Mexico or Canada or Cuba or Greenland, you know. You know, do you think there'd be some, well, you can't do that, you know. I mean, you guys, great big bullies, you're over there, but it's okay over there. But, yeah, there's not much. It's all right for them to do it because of who they are. And they're so, you know, everybody's just being anti-Semitic. So, yeah, we've got, there's definitely a rules for me, but different ones for the situation.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see I would give a little credit where credit's due, I guess, but there were 30 Democrats in Congress that are attempting to get a resolution passed to force the United States to admit that Israel has a nuclear arsenal.
I didn't see that, no.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened this week up on the Hill. And the reason behind it is because under the Carter administration, we funded that program. The United States tax dollars funded that program. And that's kind of the tactic that they're using, that these Democrats saying, these are American tax dollars that have helped fund, maintain, and advance this nuclear arsenal in Israel. The American people have a right to know. So they're essentially trying to pass a piece of legislation that would force our own government to admit that, yeah, we set them up with nuclear weapons, and we still do.
Yeah, I did see that. Isn't that, yeah, that was interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. And I look at that as a win, guys. I mean, I don't know about, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, and they already talk about it. It's just there's no official declaration. It's kind of like this war thing. Well, it's a war. I mean, they use that word in the official, you know, interviews and everything else. Oh, well, you know, the war is a battle or the Strait of Hormuz. But it's like, well, there's no official declaration. There's no official. It's just, I mean, everybody knows it, but we're not going to, like, officially say they have nuclear weapons, and never mind the fact that we actually executed or, you know, jailed people for stealing nuclear secrets back in the day. I can't think of the names right off the top of my head, but
Rosenbergs.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've had them for a very long time, and that's just one of those. It's all known. It's in your face. It's just no official declaration. So, what's the point, really?
Well, then it looks like things are hitting up over in Russia too, or between Russia and Ukraine, with the foreign what was that, the Russian foreign minister urging all the foreign countries to get your diplomats out of Kiev?
Yeah.
Yeah, today's victory day in Russia. And this is, if you've ever seen the video footage of the huge military parade they have, and that happens today, May 9th.
Okay.
And this is in commemoration of World War II and the Allied victories and all of that. And Putin, earlier in the week, declared a one-way truce. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he pretty much came out and said, we won't engage in any hostilities this week in commemoration of Victory Day, and asked Ukraine to do the same, which they didn't. The Ukraine would not commit to that. So I guess what Putin has instructed the Russian military is, if the Ukrainians choose to attack Russia during this day of peace on Victory Day, that they're going after Kiev, that they're just going to go after the capital. So that was, I think, where that came from, Jason, is Russia's trying to do the right thing and tell these other countries that, hey, we don't want any of your people killed in this, but we don't trust Ukraine to hold a truce for the day. So you might want to get your people out, because if they attack us, we're going after Kiev.
Interesting.
Which is a whole interesting thing. Like, I think to a degree it shows a lot of restraint on their part, don't you? Because evidently that could happen. It could have already happened at any time they wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, so I see that as.
I personally believe, if you look at the last 4 or 5 years, I think Russia has. I don't know what Russia is trying to do. I mean, I'm not Russian. I don't pretend to be an expert on any of that. But they sure have shown an enormous amount of restraint with the Ukraine over the last few years. So it doesn't surprise me that they're willing to go to that level again, Tim. But, I just got a headline. Ukraine has violated Victory Day ceasefire, according to Moscow.
Oh, geez. Here we go.
We're really surprised.
Just as we're talking. Oh, my gosh. Whether you want to believe this or not, it says here the Ukrainian military has violated the Victory Day ceasefire on 8,970 occasions since it took effect at midnight on Friday, Moscow time, including drone and artillery strikes, according to the Russian Defense Minister. Well, I guess
like
pass the popcorn. We'll sit back and see what happens.
Huh. Well, and yesterday, Trump announced that there was going to be a 3-day Russian-Ukraine ceasefire, and said that it was going to take place between May 9th and through the 11th, and that thousands of POWs were going to be returned, were going to be swapped back and forth between the countries.
I guess Zelensky and Netanyahu have the same definition of a ceasefire.
Yeah, you guys stop shooting. We're going to keep doing whatever we want to do.
Maybe they're from the same tribe.
Yeah, well.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Zelensky and Malinsky, isn't that his name, Tim?
Yeah, related
Malinsky
somehow.
Or something?
Well, are we surprised they violated that? No. I mean, the whole reason they can't even reach an accord is because Zelensky constantly changes the ground rules like that. And I honestly, between you and me, I'm surprised that it's not just a smoking hole over there. I mean, that just shows me that I really think that Russia has seen fit. They're more worried about the people than the ones. You know, he doesn't care. I mean, so
I
that's just my
I opinion. Believe like, you. No, I think you're right, Tim. And I believe, and just a 30-second history lesson, you know, the modern Russian people, the Rus people, they came out of Kiev. That is where the modern Russian Empire, the Rus people were Vikings. I mean, that's essentially what they were. And they were in that area of Ukraine. And the century escapes me right now. I think it was something like 940 AD or something like that. But they experienced a mass conversion to Christianity. The Volga River, there was tens of thousands of the Rus people that were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they set up the first empire, Russian Empire, and expanded their territories. But I really believe that Putin and these Russians that are running that government now, I think they look upon Kiev and Ukraine as their ancestral homeland, and I really think they don't want to destroy it. I don't think they want to turn it into a crater, like you said, Tim. I think they want to preserve it because it's their land, and I think that's what is restraining them from doing so.
Yeah, they still have a lot of people there that are, basically. Yeah, so.
Absolutely, yeah absolutely.
I mean, this is a little closer to home, but did you see where a Texas water park there is having a Muslim-only day at a taxpayer-funded water park? I mean, is that
sure did.
Nobody can show up if you're not in a burqa or whatever?
That's exactly what it means. Yeah, well, I learned a couple things on this. One of the things I learned is these Muslims have their own swimsuits. They look like ninjas. I mean, they're all face covered up and stuff. But it's been big news around here. I don't know how much it's been covered on the national news at all, but. So there's this area up in kind of the Dallas-Fort Worth area for people that are listening. But I'm trying to find the name of the water park. It's escaping me right now. But anyways, it is a water park. It's an indoor-outdoor water park that is operated by the local city government. And they, Grand Prairie, Texas is where it's at. And they,
Epic Waters.
They decided, Epic Waters. There you go. By the way, I just want to point this out because I don't think it's a coincidence. So this Epic Indoor Water Park or whatever, if you guys remember the planned Muslim community, that was up in the same area, Grand Prairie, Grapevine, and that area, that massive Muslim-only essentially city that was going in was called Epic. That was the name of the city, Epic City.
Oh, sure.
I find that very coincidental. Anyways, For $65, these Muslims were going to go in all day long, and it was going to be Muslims only with their halal food. And, a burkini. There you go. There you go, Jason, a burkini. That's ridiculous. But, I'm looking at the flyer right now. It said exclusive access to the Epic Indoor Water Park for a one-day event for Muslims only, a family-friend environment. Halal food will be served, modest dress code, private prayer area, closed to the public, Muslims only. So So I bet y'all can imagine how the good people of Texas felt about that.
Yeah, I bet it was popular, right? Yeah.
You know, and the thing is we'd have more outcry if we wanted to have a Christians only or a whites only event. Hey, can we have a whites only event at your water park? I mean, what do you think that they'd say to that?
Oh yeah,
that'd be
nice. Yeah, it's just that simple. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there used to be a chain of water parks called Whitewater. I wonder if Whitewater Parks.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just I had seen something go by, and I actually don't remember which country it was, but there was another country that's working on banning the burqa. And I did a little looking into that. We were talking about this brought that to mind, but 24 countries have implemented bans or restrictions on the burqa now. I mean, they won't let, you know, it's like France, Belgium, Switzerland, Bulgaria, Austria, Denmark, Luxembourg, Switzerland, you know, they've all banned them. So I think that some of these, and it's funny, we don't hear about that in the news to speak of, you know what I mean? But to me, I wonder what they do on the burkini there. You know,
Well, I've been shocked about how much stuff that I've been seeing that is coming out that is just kind of racist, and it's getting I mean, it's becoming mainstream, but it's becoming common. Some of the stuff that's come across Instagram and stuff, and it's people telling jokes, and one of the ones I keep laughing, but it keeps popping up by different people, and they're getting hundreds of thousands of views on it. But it's you know, what do humans and sharks have in common? And and it says, you know, all the great ones were white. And you know, go ahead.
No, that's great. I was kind of writing that down as you were talking. Use that one.
It's like, wow. You know, people are. I think we had a lot of closet racists that have recently decided to come out of the closet.
I'm going to say something to you guys, and I'll tell you where I came across this. This is, since you brought it up, it's not, I saw a Facebook post, and the Facebook post dealt with, there was a guy driving around in Greater Miami, Florida. All right. So think about Miami.
Okay.
And think about the type of people that have moved from New York to Miami. And the guy is riding around in like a Toyota Corolla, and he has got probably a 3-inch in diameter swastika that is in the back windshield of his vehicle. And it's tiny. I mean, it's like a drink coaster, just a little small,
okay,
swastika. And this guy, I guess routinely, like once a day, gets the cops called on it. where he has been pulled over, I don't remember how many times, you know, and for no law violation, you know, the cops end up saying, yeah, it's freedom of speech, can't do anything about it. But because of the high concentration of a certain group of people in Miami, they are constantly calling the cops on this guy for riding around with a swastika. So that's not really the story. The story, because I had this post shared with me, was like the 13,000 comments made about this post. And I'm going to tell you, what you say is right, Jason. People are waking up. Call them racist or realist or whatever. I was amazed that the comments. There was a reoccurring comment that said something like this. America is rebuilding. America is rebuilding. And that was some variation of that comment was hundreds of times where you had people saying, America is rebuilding itself. And I took that as we're scraping the scales off of our eyes.
Yep.
And we're starting to see the world for what it is and not for what we have been made to believe that it is. And I immediately thought about we're paying attention to the left hand of the magician now. We're not watching his right hand. We're watching the actual hand that's doing the evil deeds. And that's why you're starting to see America rebuilding itself. Does that make sense, guys, what I'm trying to say?
That makes a lot of sense. And I think that it can go along with, I mean, we can call it a lot of different things, but I really believe that this is, you know, an awakening. It's a working of the Holy Spirit that's going across this land that people are, I think it's part of that 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I'm excited about it, you know, and, one of my daily prayers has been for the Holy Spirit to continue to work across this land and pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over this land and calling and praying for an awakening to take place. And I encourage people to be praying along those ways and to be praying for this country because, you know, it's like there's a spark that's been kindled. And I'm praying that it turns into that flame. And, you know, talking about the Obadiah scripture, it's, you know, God is doing a mighty work. And he's doing a work in his people. And his people are waking up. And praise God for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of, well, and you know, part of that is you see different groups of people, I guess it's one use the word races, they've got negative birth rates. So something's going to change or people are going to disappear. And we have all kinds of locusts. The Bible uses that word frequently about them coming in. And when something's eating all your productivity out of your land, you have to get rid of that parasite. It's got to be moved out. So, and I think that's what we're seeing overall. Yeah. It's not wasted to me. I was thinking about it the other day, and it's not wasted on me the fact that a lot of these lands where these parasitical people are, whether you want to call them terrorists or whatever, and there's all kinds of different species of them, you know, but isn't it interesting that the lands that they live in are desolate, desert, you know what I'm saying? I mean, to some degree, you look at some of those lands over there, like, you know, Palestine, Israeli area, there's nothing there. You know, you look at areas in this country that people make the desert bloom and different things happen. I mean, it gets taken back. It gets renewed. But over there, it just continues to become more desolate. You know, it's just desolation, which is another word the Bible uses. So I think that you can draw that parallel without too much imagination at all and really look at it that way.
Agreed.
Oh, well, we've got about 10 minutes before break. Where do you guys want to go next? there was this protest in it over Israeli real estate event in Manhattan's synagogue. I don't know anything about this one, but what you guys know anything about it?
What did happen in New York?
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, no, you go ahead.
Yep.
Just get dialed in.
No, there was protest is what it was, and they were calling it the Great Israeli Real Estate Event 2026 protest, and it was at the Parkey Synagogue in Manhattan. But the real story is there were, depending on who you want to hear, hundreds, dozens of people that showed up to protest. And the real estate side of this that's interesting is these people showed up because, quote, they were deeply opposed to the real estate expo that includes the promotion of the sale of land in settlements in the occupied West Bank. So what was happening was you had representatives from the Israeli government that were in New York City, in Manhattan, and they were selling off Palestine to these wealthy Jews that reside here in America. This was a real estate event that was selling off what we've been talking about. These areas that the Greater Israeli Project, I guess you would call it. And word broke out on this. It was a land grab is what it was, Tim. It was just a good old-fashioned land grab, and they were there selling this to the highest bidder, so to speak. And different groups of people, probably people I wouldn't want to hang out with. I mean, they're kind of not my crowd necessarily, but they showed up. And they had clashes with the cops, and there was some violence where the cops had to repel these people because it appeared, by golly, they were going to go inside the synagogue and stop this. That's kind of my gist on it, Tim. I don't know what you got.
Well, I just thought it was interesting that, number one, it was taking place in a synagogue. I mean, that's where we
yep.
That's definitely ought to be the real estate agent, right? Is the synagogue. Hello. Yeah. The other thing I thought that was interesting, and this was kind of a minor takeaway, but maybe it wasn't, was that the NYPD did permit members of the media to pass the barricades that locked down 6th
yep.
and 7th Street. So they did not want the media. Really, it sounds like a couple of whatever you want to call it, undercover operatives got through media guys. But mostly it was like if you had a press pass, which would usually get you into those kinds of things. Oh, press, go, you know. But in this instance, it was actually the opposite. So that's uniquely interesting, I think, as far as that goes. We don't want any freedom of speech or freedom of the media involved. Not that I think the media, mainstream media, is exactly fair and unbiased or anything like that, but still, they were so worried about it that they didn't even want anybody to have something that they could read between the lines on. So.
Well, and I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I went to that IsraelEvent2025.com, which is the website that is you know, the basically home base for the Great Israel Real Estate Event. I didn't realize how many of those that they were having events. Toronto, they were May 3rd, they were there. Manhattan was May 5th. Five Towns, May 6th. Teaneck, May 7th. Muncie, May 10th. Flatbush, May 11th. And Queens, May 12th. And then on June 14th, they'll be hosting an event in London.
Wow.
Just going all over the place. And it's interesting. Discover, connect, move in. Come and meet the consultants in all areas of Aliyah and explore the best Anglo neighborhoods to find your dream home. Additional support is available for important life planning needs in Israel, including burial services. Yeah, if you move there, you might want to have that planned out.
Figured out.
Amen.
Yeah. And that word Aliyah means, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but that's supposedly the immigration of Jews from the diaspora
yes.
to historically the geographical land of Israel or the Palestine. So that's how they're that's how they're couching that, is like, well, we're just doing what we're supposed to do. So, you know, going back to this region. And how do they even think they have title or the ability to sell that land? What, you know, claims, and back to what Will said earlier, well, they vacated it. Well, yeah, you do that when they drop bombs on you, you know, and destroy your water and your hospitals and all the infrastructure. So that's not leaving. That's being forced out.
Guys, y'all stop and think about this. I mean, I know we're getting close to the top hour break, but I was just sitting here thinking that it's a little different, but this is almost like a slave auction. I mean, if you stop and think about this, whether it's international gun brokering or weapons brokering or whatever, stop and think about all of these, the cities that Jason was just naming off, whether it was in England or Canada or the United States or whatever. These are major cities that are hosting auctions for one group of people, not for me and you, you know, whoever. It's not open to the public. It's open to one class of people, and they are selling stolen goods. It's a black market that's right in front of us. But have you seen it advertised? Before this news story, before this major protest in New York, would we have even known about this?
No.
That this is going on right under our noses, so to speak. Right. You know, I can tell you where there's a farm auction. I can tell you where there's an estate sale. I see that stuff advertised, you know. And
I think you're on the wrong list.
I don't
there,
think
Will.
You're going to find probably. Yeah, probably.
I don't think they want the likes of you going and bidding and buying property over there. They're kind of racist, or I don't know what you would say, separatist, I guess. They got their own kind of separatism going over there.
Well, Jason, you're saying that. Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, you try to put together a gathering here, and if you're not in the right place, why they don't want to. You can't even get a meeting hall or different things like that, you know. But these folks, that's okay. As a matter of fact, if you want to do that, we'll coordinate area off and keep the media out so you can do it. Wow, what a deal.
Yeah, that's crazy. I guess that was what hit me, though. You know, we've come to know that there's child trafficking, that's a real, real thing, and weapons trafficking is a real thing. Well, it turns out stolen land trafficking is a thing as well, and it's the same usual suspects that are behind all of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same usual suspects, that's for sure. Hey, guys, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back right after a few minutes.
In God we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers we must stand and face this enemy within, and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the second American Revolution.
Rout all those traitors right out of our system.
Second American Revolution today. And we're back. And had a glitch there for a minute. Sorry, couldn't get the thing to work, but we are back. Yeah, and you're listening to round two of Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Where do you guys want to go next?
We can get a little closer to home, right?
Yeah.
Sure. It's not like there's not things to talk about around here either. I think it's kind of international, but a little closer to home. How about this hantavirus cruise ship thing going on? That's all over. There's a lot of splash on that right now. I see where they're loading up some of the people that they get off there and shipping them out here to Omaha or Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh geez! In your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Why are they doing that, Tim?
Well, I don't know. I mean, studies. We supposedly we have quite a, you know, an immune lab out here, but the CDC is pretty big over there. And of course, you know, if you have a, it is the U.S. Center for Disease Control, so probably if you have people sick, you definitely want them in the center of your country. In one of the
sure makes total sense.
Where the traffic's going through. This is satire, by the way. But you know, it's like, yeah. And then I think was that a Dutch ship? I believe it was. Yeah. So I heard something this morning about they just let everybody off of it. You know. So you know, I don't know, but it's interesting that. One of the other things that I thought was interesting, and actually you sent this out, I had heard too, Will, but one of the side effects of the COVID vaccine was hantavirus. What was it? Effects or hantavirus. So isn't that strange? Of course, you know, they're making all this. Nobody wants to kick in and play this time. It's kind of like, nah, we've done a bad thing, you know, but
I think it's interesting because you know, they say that, well, I was just reading the headline, 17 American passengers aboard the hantavirus hit cruise ship will quarantine in Nebraska. A team from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention will meet the passengers in the Canary Islands before they are sent to Nebraska for quarantine, an agency official said. And I just thought that as I was reading this, a thought occurred to me, you know, they call it the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. They're not there to control or to prevent. You know, it's a complete opposite. They're there to spread
and to cause.
Yeah, it's the Center for Disease Creation.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
That's kind of been the joke.
Coalescence.
I mean,
anyway, it's just kind of those, backwards things that they do. It's kind of like, when we want to have a war on terrorism, and create more terror, a war on drugs and create more drugs, or a war on, you name it. We have a war on something, and it just blows up in their face, and,
worse.
Yeah.
Well, and I thought it was, go ahead, Will.
No, I was just going to make a real quick comment. You're right, guys, what y'all were talking about. Every time we have a war on something, it seems like the victim is the American people.
Yeah.
Yep.
We don't ever win a war on anything, whether it's obesity or drugs or health or whatever. The war is never won, and the victim is always the American people. We get fatter, we get dumber, we get more stupid, more addicted to everything you can imagine. I kind of want the United States government to stop declaring war on stuff. We can figure this out ourselves. Just get out of our way.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Tim. Maybe we lost Tim.
Did we lose Tim?
I think we did.
I couldn't.
Yeah, maybe we have to.
And I think that it's just like what you were saying, Jason, in agreement with you. It's like every time they undertake to make something better, I was thinking back to something my father-in-law used to say all the time, and pastor used to say all the time, as far as just like, they had economic development for all these small towns across the country, and every one of them who signed up and took the money, those towns are now dead. I mean, there's not anybody in them. Yep. They're ghost towns. I was like, and do you guys remember back in the, like Randy Weaver days, there was a meme that came out and showed a government guy in, full SWAT dress with a gas mask on, and it said, "We're the government, and we're here to help."
Help you, yeah. I remember that.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's kind of the scenario. It's like beware of help that's not. But the other thing that I thought was interesting was, in the meantime, just about the time this Disney Cruise Line rift came out, and all this information came out about that. It was a child porn thing, and suddenly we had the Hantavirus cruise ship, So if you say something about the Disney Cruise Line rift, why, they go, "Oh, you mean the Hantavirus? You're talking about the Hantavirus cruise ship now." I think it's also being used to obscure the fact that, they arrested like 30 people on a cruise ship that were distributing child pornography and everything else. And, we look at there's just so many things going on in the country right now, as far as just direct, I guess you call it, right? So they just don't want. We've got the, and the other thing is doesn't Hanta sound like the word Hanta? I mean, it's one letter different. I was thinking of Pastor Peter's book, Terrible Terrors. And, Hanta is a group of military personnel taking power or exercising power over another group of people.
Yep.
And you got the Hanta virus out there, and here comes the CDC, which is actually, if you've ever seen any of their actions, why they take power. I mean, they come in and basically everybody bows to them, and show up. So there's a lot of similarities there that are interesting.
100% agreed. I looked this up just because I wanted to get the exact date on it, but I think this is on August 12th, 1986, President Ronald Reagan said, quote, "The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, 'I'm from the government and I'm here to help.'"
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
We don't want that kind of help. Stay away.
No. We prefer to take care of
ourselves. We've seen that before. We remember Ruby Ridge. We remember Waco.
Absolutely. I'll help myself. So, thank you.
So remember, I'm trying to get water to the group down there in, where was that at? Louisiana down there during after the hurricane, and people were dying. And
yep.
And finally took private citizens to get across a little body of water and get some aid to people.
Well, you look at, yeah, I mean, all these places that you go into where they've had these natural disasters, down North Carolina, South Carolina, and stuff, and then you have private citizens trying to come in, people with helicopters, airplanes, that's where the real help came from. Everybody that I talked to that said that, you know, FEMA came in every time we've had a natural disaster around here, or that I've talked to people that have been anywhere where they've come in and tried to supposedly help. They come in and gobble up the money from the donations that people want to do and limit people from helping.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah, they basically turn 100%. Away anybody who actually contributes or does anything physical. They just want the money, and then no help's forthcoming. So, yeah. And in regards to this, speaking of, if you call it help or not, for those of us, if you know type thing, but we look at back at the COVID vaccine, and I just found this. Pfizer has criminal record with the U.S. Department of Justice, over their vaccine. This just came out May 8th, which was yesterday. Eric Holder went up against pharmaceutical giant Pfizer, and they were condemned to pay $2.3 billion with a B for healthcare fraud settlement. To resolve criminal and civil liabilities, that's the DOJ's, but it's not mine, arising from the illegal promotion of certain pharmaceutical products. That is the largest healthcare fraud settlement in the history of the DOJ. So, I mean,
wow.
Can you imagine? But, nobody was arrested, nobody went to jail, nothing. But it was, and that fine was not in regards, by the way, to COVID. That fine was in regards to other things. There was never a presidential pardon for their criminal record or anything else. I mean, you take a private citizen, if you get a fraud on you or a finding like that, it's going to follow you around for the rest of your life. Just came in the gun. There's a lot of jobs. You can't get or anything else.
Yeah, good point. Guys,
no problem. It's like,
good point. So.
Nobody cares. So, The quote out of the article I read, it says, upon the launch of the mRNA vaccine in December 2020, both the media and government worldwide failed to.
Oh, go ahead, Tim.
It just said that they never informed anybody that Pfizer had a criminal record with the Department of Justice. Go ahead.
Well, I just looked up what Hanta meant in Hebrew. And you guys want to know what it says? I think this is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Dying.
It means a lie, nonsense, a scam, or a fake, often used to describe someone who is full of crap. Coincidence?
Wow.
I mean,
that's even better.
Yeah. Supposedly the Hanta came from, because it was originally found, the virus was found in next to a river, the Hanta River in Korea. But I just decided to look it up in Hebrew. And I think that I think that's probably where it comes from.
Jason, that is that'll preach.
That's timely. Yeah.
I think There's a sermon in there somewhere. So.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's amazing. So, there you go. That's the way it should be.
I want to take just a minute and shift something a little more regional to me, but it's kind of a thing. Jason, can I talk just for a minute?
Go ahead.
I'm going to tie it into something that we've often wondered. So I don't know how familiar you guys are with Ted Turner, but Ted Turner is dead. He was 87 years old, and he has died. And just a real quick on this, I grew up in Atlanta. We've been talking about the Center for Disease Control. They're based out of Atlanta, and so was Ted Turner, who also was kind of the Center for Disease Control himself in his own way. But Ted Turner was a multi-billionaire and really built himself up as far as his wealth. And he's also a guy who absolutely hated God, Christianity. He was once married to Jane Fonda, just an awful human being. But he is credited, and rightfully so. The reason why we have 24-hour cable news is because of Ted Turner. Ted Turner was the creator of CNN. He was the creator of Headline News. He is credited with really popularizing and promoting cable television. He owned several cable networks, and he owned a lot of professional sports teams over the years. He was also an ultra environmentalist, like a militant environmentalist, and just a nasty man, just a nasty guy. But the reason I want to bring him up is because for many, many years, it was rumored and never substantiated that Ted Turner was the financier of the Georgia Guidestones.
Yep.
And Ted Turner paid for this to be erected in Elberton, Georgia, which is the granite capital of the world. The banker who acted as the front man of this project hinted around while he was alive that it was possible that it was Ted Turner, but he would never come out and admit it because he was bound by some legal agreements and that sort of thing. And Ted Turner's dead. We may never know that to be true, but I will tell you there's some real similarities there just over the years. Ted Turner, in some interviews, made comments several times that he believed there only should be about 500 million people across the entire world. That was about the population range that he felt like the Earth could support sufficiently. Well, the first tenet on the Georgia Guidestones before they were destroyed was maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. And I won't get into the Georgia Guidestones too much, guys, but it's out there if people want to know more about it. I don't want to memorialize a man or anything like that. I think there's probably some good that he did, but it was very little compared to his absolute radical beliefs. And I'm glad he's dead. That's really what I wanted to say. Ted Turner was a terrible human being, and
he was.
I hope that I hope that eternity treats him appropriately.
I laughed at the article I read. Kind of opened up with the fact that he died at 87, and of course he'd been suffering from a form of dementia, a brain disorder for several years. And I was like, yeah, like 85 years, you know? I mean, it was like, and yeah, he was carrying on about nobody should have, they should all promise to have no more than two children while he had five,
yep.
You know, and, very pro, you know, he hated the Ten Commandments. He hated God. Yeah.
Donated nothing. Billions to the United Nations.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that was single-handedly kind of kept certain programs alive
right.
in the United Nations with his money. I mean, he just there was at one time, I really, just growing up in that area, I thought, you know, this dude may be the Antichrist. And if he's not the Antichrist, he's one of them. He'll definitely do. He's just a terrible, terrible guy.
Yeah, and the Catholics, they want to forgive him because he apologized, you know, but it's like your works follow with you, and his works never said he apologized for anything. And it's like, he absolutely took every available opportunity to demote Christian value.
He was revered in Atlanta. He really kind of helped put Atlanta on the map as far as getting the Olympics there in 1996 and just creating an empire. And the short-sightedness of just a group of people there, you know, that was kind of the buckle of the Bible Belt down there in Georgia. And it was always funny to me that there are people who revered this man and you know, they called themselves Christians, and they would talk about the virtues of Ted Turner and what he was doing to revitalize Atlanta. And I was just thinking, like, this man openly hates the God we serve, and you guys are naming streets after him. You know, this is just ridiculous. But anyways, we talk about George Soros. We talk about, you know, the Warren Buffetts and all of these people out there that are more internationally centered or whatever, but Ted Turner was the forerunner of all of those guys, in my opinion, as far as being a one-world billionaire that just hated God and what we stand for. So, like I said, I hope eternity treats him accordingly.
Oh, I think it will. I know it will.
I think
you look at people like Ted Turner and George Soros and stuff like that, it really shows when you see, like Ted was very outspoken. One of his things that was, and I think it started back in the 80s, but, he was so pro-abortion, went out of his way to be pro-abortion and, you know, he loved killing children. He's a dirty bastard.
Yeah. Yep. Whether he knew it or not, you know, he was feeding Moloch. And one of the things that, you're talking about his billions to the United Nations, Jason, that was one of the programs that he funded was basically worldwide abortions. That's what he did. And so it wasn't just here that he was promoting abortions in the United States. This is a guy who really, and we talk about races. If you really delve into some of the things that Ted Turner said, how he's not remembered as an ultra racist, because Ted Turner, much like a Bill Gates, Ted Turner wanted to sterilize basically all of Africa. Like he really hated these third world countries. He wanted to see, I remember a magazine you guys are going to have to help me out. It was a science magazine from the 1980s. And was there a magazine called Omni, Tim?
Yes. Scientific American, okay. Omni. Yeah, there was a couple of those.
It was one of those. And in the late 80s, Ted Turner, this is not going to be, it's a close to a quote, but he basically said, we need to get rid of the native Africans so that people like us can enjoy that continent. Like he was openly talking about that the billionaires, the ultra elite needed to get rid of certain people so that they could enjoy the natural resources and the wealth of that continent. And this is, that never comes up. You're not going to hear Ted Turner be spoken of ill that way, but the guy was a genocidal maniac. Just like the British royal family, you know, the current King of England, Charles III, his father, you know, this is a guy who was credited with saying that if he hopes that reincarnation is real and that he can come back as a virus that will affect all of mankind and kill off the population. That's real. That's not something I'm making up. That's how these people think. They hate you because you're God's creation, and they want this world for themselves, and to do away with God's creation. I mean, they want the world for themselves because this is all that it is to them, and they want the control. And Ted Turner was just a prime example of that kind of person. So I hope he's maybe the first one of maybe George Soros will be next, and maybe we can just start kicking off the list as these guys go on to meet their fate.
Well, I think. Go ahead, Tim.
We were just talking about that Jewish land grab sale over there in Queens or wherever it was, but you know. In a way, he was doing the same thing. I know he came into our state and bought a whole bunch of ranch ground and everything else, and he paid, well, just ridiculous prices for it. I mean, and because he didn't want anybody else bidding it or getting it. And consequences, you know, there's consequences to that kind of stuff under the current system. It drives up property taxes. It drives up land values to the point where people who actually make money with that land can no longer do so. So it's kind of the same theft situation as what you're looking at over there. They just go in and it's just another way of stealing. But that's just a free thought.
Well, here, I'll add on to your free thought and just give two more pennies as far as 2 cents go. And if you guys actually look at what Ted Turner did, not only Nebraska, but he did is Idaho and Oregon and Montana and some places. At one time, Ted Turner was the largest landowner in the United States. And one of the things that he did, because he was just such an ultra environmentalist, and I don't really like saying environmentalist because I personally think I'm an environmentalist, and I'm sure you guys would say the same thing as far as being good stewards of God's creation and that sort of thing. Ted Turner was a militant, and one of the things that he did, I know, in Montana was more or less single-handedly tried to shut down the forestry industry in Montana, where he went in and bought up huge, huge swaths of timberland and put loggers out of business and just broke the leases, the logging leases, and just absolutely devastated that industry back in the 1980s. If you guys remember all of the troubles that the loggers were going through with the different environmental organizations, Ted Turner was financing that and in many instances buying up those leases and putting those loggers out of business. That doesn't get talked about either, but he was certainly a huge driver in that industry of doing away with the industry.
Yeah. The old spotted owl problem.
Yep.
That's exactly right. His lawyers helped create that problem.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember that. I was there then.
Yeah.
Well, I just had to check. It's still there. Hebrews 9:27, it reads, "Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment." So.
Yep.
Still legit.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow. I see that we've got this data center thing's kind of coming up and kind of moving along. I was looking at a map of data centers in the world. Holy smokes. How do we need so many data centers? You know, AI is, and I think, I don't know about you guys, but do you think this AI thing is kind of maybe tied in with the UFO thing? You know, I kind of suspect that there's some contributing factors between those two things. So,
well, Tim, you took the cap off, so I'm going to put my thumb over the top of the bottle and shake it up and then take my thumb off and see what happens here. What do you guys make of this UFO thing? They're starting to bring it out here now, and it's questionable timing. You know, I always think about timing when it comes to this stuff, but Where do you think this is going, guys? What do you think they're going to do with it?
Well, I think they're going to try and destroy religion with it, and I use that word broadly, but they would like to destroy Christianity with it, and I think that we're looking at these aliens are demonic beings. I mean, they're fallen angels, demonic creatures. It's satanic in its nature. And, we talk about these, abstract, side things to keep people distracted, these abstract distractions. I'm not so sure this isn't like one of the main events, personally. That's my thought on it. So, and I think the AI plays into it too. Go ahead, Jason.
I don't know. I've wondered too about the distraction part of it, getting people on board. We'll see what actually happens with it, because we've heard promises about releasing some of this stuff before. And, I've wondered, is it just to get a different group of people on board behind, the president, because, there's so many that there's a whole group of really interesting people that follow the alien thing very heavily. I mean, it almost becomes a religion to them. It does become a religion.
It is a religion. It is a religion.
And yeah. is it trying to get those people on board? Is it trying to target a group of people to get them to the back of? I don't know. I even went as far as, is it that they realize that we're getting close to Christ's return, and they're going to try to portray Christ as an alien and combat him. I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I don't know what I think. Go ahead.
I think you're real close there, Jason. No, I think you're real close there, Jason. I really do. I think this, I'm a guy, and I'm going to speak for Will, not Tim or Jason or the ministry, but I believe that what we're seeing is fallen alien, or excuse me, fallen angel technology. I think governments know this. I think when we talk about governments being Luciferian or satanic in nature, I think I'm a guy that believes that they know exactly what these things are. I think they know that they're satanic, demonic forces. I think our governments have been in league with them for some time now. I think that's why we've seen a lot of the advancements that we have seen. And I think that's why we have seen such a falling away of Christian governments to a more Luciferian government. I really believe that. And I think the time of the return of Christ is growing closer by the day, and I think they have to have a cover story, if nothing else, in order to try to hold on to the power that they've achieved. And Tim, to speak to what you're saying, I think that's why the AI data centers are there. We were told 30 years ago about something called Project Bluebeam. It was a Canadian who broke the story and basically said they're setting up a digital system to explain away the second coming of Christ, and they're going to use holograms in a digital reality to try to explain this, and we're getting closer and closer to that as far as I'm concerned.
Good point. We got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Hello, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes, hey, Kevin. Kevin.
Good morning. Hey, hi, Will, Tim, Jason. Good broadcast today. I get a lot of my news off of Hal Turner. And if you don't know it, he knows the Israel Anglo message. Really, he tells it all the time on his broadcast. He spent his whole show last night from the first minute to the last minute giving all the things that are happening. with the crisis in Iran. And it's very informative to read it on his website. We're reaching what that the analysts call panic bottom, that Europe is running on to tank bottom like this month, United States by July, early July. And that means we've reached a point where even if everything started back up, it would take as much as a year to get everything restarted. When they shut down wells, it's not just a simple process. It takes so long. It takes so long to get them back going and so forth. And it's a mess. It's like an unsolvable thing right now. And it's saying it's like 7 weeks that they're going to be a food crisis. There's a big shortage of naphtha that makes everything in the way of plastics, and it's selling for exorbitant prices on foreign markets. This is uglier than anything we've seen in the past, if you think about it and process it. You mentioned today about the help for Katrina. Do you remember Pastor Peters having a fund drive to send food down there?
Yep.
And a lot of us contributed to it. And when they got down there, they wouldn't take it. They had a hard time getting rid of the food, didn't they?
Yep.
They had a real hard time. Ted Turner is a piece of work. Never missed. I've been watching videos on a site called Scriptures Revealed. And I didn't know this, but do you know how Muhammad died? Anyone?
No.
I'll tell you.
Not right off the top of my head.
He was given a poison by a woman named Jabab, and her thought was that at a meal. Anyway, that if he died, he's not a prophet. If he lives, he is. Well, one of the guys eating there that night died. He got one bite of it, and over several months, he just declined and declined, and he died. I like that story. And I'm glad to see him shut down that thing about the Muslim day down in Texas. And I really thank you for all the work you're doing, and that's really what I have to contribute. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate you calling, Kevin.
God bless you.
God bless.
How are the fires going, Tim?
They're pretty much all out. We've had a little rain. As far as I know, we're now it's just into the recovery mode. So it's just, the fires that we've had some rain and moisture over the last week, I suppose. So they've pretty much got them all beat down, as far as I know. I haven't heard about any even hot spots. So that's been great here, and now they just got to figure out what they're going to do with mitigation of cattle feed and things like that. And of course, you know, the dryness has kind of put the wheat crops down, so they're pasturing cattle on the wheat right now, trying to cut you know, get some feed for cattle out of that. So it's been a good thing. I mean, as far as that goes, it's coming back. So, and everybody's cooperating with everybody else. We've got people sending hay in from all over the country yet and helping out. It's been a real, if nothing else, it's encouraging to see how people work together, you know. So that's where we're at.
Are you seeing the prices of the nitrogen now? Because it's required.
You can't hardly even get fertilizer in this country right now. I mean, as far as that goes, it's extremely limited supply due to the fuel and due to everything else. So, and diesel's so high. I mean,
same.
Yeah.
Same in Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and California is really going to be hurt because they're an island. They, in essence, for energy, they only take what's shipped in from the into the ports there. So they're going to be hurting real bad.
Well, thank you very much. Diesel was at $7 a gallon out there, or something like that.
Yeah,
here the other day.
Yeah, it's and that nitrogen is really going on out the roof. So, well, we'll see what's going on. Thank you very much again.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. God bless.
Okay.
And again, the phone number to call in is open now. Well, the phone number to call in is 970-224-4203. We had a caller on the line, had several people that tried to call in. Why, Kevin was on the line, and but we're back, and the phone lines are open, and we got about 20 minutes left. So if you'd like to call back, give us a call back, and we'll try to get you on. What was I going to say? I thought it was interesting. You know, I was thinking about it when we were jumping back to this UFO deal. It, you know, it talks about, I went to the war.gov.ufo, a government website, and I just read on part of the directive on it. In response to President Donald J. Trump's directive for transparency on U.S. government information, and just reading that, I thought, okay, you know, here they're talking about transparency on this, but you know, what about the Epstein files? They sure talked about how they wanted to have transparency on that, but I think they're transparent. Their definition of transparency and mine is quite a bit different, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt.
Especially when I don't know if you guys, and this is in our notes or anything like that, but I don't know if you guys saw it. Did you guys see any of Pam Bondi's video testimony on what she was talking about, how she was sitting in there and was just directed not to bring it up and not to pursue the Epstein files?
I heard that. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Which is pretty much what they've done. So yeah, that's one of those things that's not in the news. You know, I mean, it's like, they don't want to talk about that at all. I mean, when was the last thing we've seen on that? You just don't. Yeah, it's a moving on. Nothing to see here. Moving along. So
that's what I mean. Like, and that's you know, the other thing. So I don't know. I back to this UFO thing. I think that there's a lot of different reasons that they're doing it. I think there's a lot of reasons that they're doing it now. I mean, it was kind of like an ace in the hole. Having something to distract, a major distraction, and you know, it's that man behind the curtain. Pay no attention to what's going on over here, but we're going to give you something, you know, that the whole world's been wanting to know about, you know, for centuries.
Well, and I think it really goes back to, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's strictly an opportunistic, like you said, ace in the hole. I think it goes back to, I'm always reminded whenever I hear about this, people say, I think Will sent one out about a meeting, but we can go into that in just a second. This kind of ties in. But Matthew 24:23-25 says that if any man says unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it or not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. You know, so it's like these antichrists, and we were talking about how a lot of these alien, that's a whole group of people out there, they treat it like a religion, you know, like they're going to save the day. They built the pyramids. They did this. They did that. You know, they're so smart. And, you know, when you look at that, it's like they're antichrist, you know, and which is the same thing as saying they're demonic, they're fallen angels, they're all these things. And don't be deceived. Believe it, don't believe it, you know. So whether that means it's totally untrue or it's not the real deal, either one of those is apt in description. So, yeah, I see it all as just a big cover-up, misdirect, or, you know, trying to cede power to someone who does not have Christians and the servants of God in the kingdom. They don't have their best interests in mind, obviously. So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you what's interesting, and I didn't know that they actually released it, but yesterday, looking at the website, and the website that I'm looking at is war.gov, and it is, yesterday they released hundreds and hundreds of PDF files. I mean, there's about 17 pages, 16 pages full of PDF documents that you can download and look at. And I mean, I'm looking at them. Most of them are pretty old. But there's definitely some interesting stuff in here.
There's some nuggets.
There is. Have you guys got a chance to look at that at all?
Just briefly for me.
It is. There's some really cool stuff in here. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. But, yeah, released yesterday, 5/8/26. So, I don't know. I'll have to get through some of these and talk about some of this stuff. This is really intriguing.
Oh, and Baptist News Global put out a End Times Prophecy.
Yes.
They were about to find out aliens are demons. I mean, they were talking about a meeting in Tennessee, I think it was, wasn't it? So, or with, you know, go ahead, Will.
The interesting thing, I want to make what Tim is talking about is supposedly there was this group of preachers, ministers, pastors, or whatever that got called together, and this kind of dark room meeting with undisclosed government officials, because the government officials wanted to tell these ministers, prepare your flocks, pass this on to your minister friends about this disclosure that's coming that could rock Christian beliefs and all of this sort of stuff. And there supposedly was five of these guys that were in this meeting. And I quickly took a look at the five guys that have been identified. And I just want to make an observation. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at these ministers or not. I'm not going to speak anything about their theology or their teachings or anything. I'm just going to talk about their appearances. They're all hipster doofuses. They're all skinny, jean-wearing, modern pulpit guys. I hope I'm doing a good job of just. I didn't see any of your older, more traditional mainstream. I don't know, maybe mainstream's not the right word. It appears that these five pastors that have come out are a more millennial driven church that would cater to a certain demographic of people, which is the younger millennial generation. Am I doing a good job of explaining that, Tim?
I think so. I thought it was significant.
Yeah,
they used the word Pentecostal, and obviously yes. There were no Catholics present, according to what I've seen. So, yeah, go ahead. I think you're doing great.
Our traditional Presbyterians, our traditional yeah. Baptists, are any of that sort of thing. You know, these were more of your name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, feel good, experiential, gospel, Pentecostal folks that are kind of the more mega church folks, and not the width and breadth of American Christianity, you know. And that's not saying much. I'm not trying to defend American Christianity. I'm just saying this didn't – I don't think this is a real good representation. If I was going to pick a panel yeah. of – American Christian leaders to prepare American Christians for something, I wouldn't have picked these five guys.
Right.
I mean, that's not what I would have done. So I almost feel like calling bullcrap on it. I'm not really sure it even happened. But if it did happen, it definitely happened in such a way that they're managing the message where they wanted to get it out to a certain demographic. And because they want that demographic to believe it. I don't know. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I got a question for you. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just out of the loop that far. But did any of those names in there, do you know any of those guys or have heard of any of those guys?
No.
Or, yeah,
not
okay,
at all.
Good.
Not
me either. I was gone, though. So who are they? You know, I mean, okay. I don't know who they are. So maybe I'm just out of the loop.
My first thought is when I watched an hour long YouTube video with these five pastors looking at them, it was a black guy, a guy that had a Jewish sounding name that apparently is a Christian pastor, and then three other dudes. And, you know, you would think your pastors in their study on video, you may see some bookcases, maybe a cross, something in the background. What I saw was not that. As a matter of fact, one of the guys had a large painting behind him of comic book superheroes. I started thinking, yeah, well, that's odd. You know, that's quite odd for a pastor to have behind him. And then I started thinking the very thing that you were saying, Tim, is I don't know any of these people. You know, these are not your name brand power brokers when it comes to what would be the modern church in America. And then I started thinking, you know, they're reaching millions of people on YouTube, literally. It was like 2.5 million views on YouTube. And then I started thinking about the CIA and the intelligence apparatus in the United States. And guys, it wouldn't surprise me that we know that the intelligence apparatus has infiltrated the American church. We know.
Oh, yeah.
Going back, for decades upon decades now. Yeah. And what's to say that these guys, I'm sure these guys do have churches, and they probably are mega churches, and they're probably all subsidized by your tax dollars and the intelligence apparatus in the United States, and they exist for one reason, and it's the reason that we're seeing right now. They're going to be used as an instrument of deception on behalf of our government. That's what I think.
It's good analysis.
Yeah. Don't believe everything you hear. I guess that's what I want to tell people. And really, I think the main message for the folks that are listening to us is, folks, something's going to come down. Something's going to come down, and it's going to look real. Don't believe your lying eyes. It's going to look as real as if it was happening in front of you. And they're going to show you video. They're going to give you analysis. They're going to tell you what it is. And you have to use the filter of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. And if it doesn't jive with that, it is not real. Yeah. It is an affront before our Lord, and the enemy is using it as a tool of deception so that in the end, even the elect would be deceived. Don't forget that they have the power to deceive even the elect. So we have got to use the filter of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures to know what's coming and to be able to call it what it is, and that's a deception. Don't give into that temptation of believing the lies that are going to come before us.
Well said.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Well, we only got a couple of minutes left, guys. Let's switch gears a little bit and close out with, did anybody have anything for Prepper Tip of the Week? I got a couple things that I was just going to talk about.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, number one, we talked about a while back. Will, you brought up this Mount Hagen coffee, organic instant coffee.
Uh-huh.
And I got to tell you, we don't get paid for advertisements or anything like that on here. But I got some, and then I got some more. And it's fantastic. It is hands down the best instant coffee that I've ever had. It's organic. It's fairly inexpensive, and it is shelf stable. And I'll tell you what, that stuff is absolutely. I mean, dump it in hot water, a couple spoonfuls of that in hot water, and it is just like, wow, it's amazing. I love it. And I ended up, I think, I don't know how much I got, but I put that on the shelf, and I got a bag or a jar of it in my backpack that I carry around in my truck, and good. It's good stuff. And anyway, I just wanted to give a review on that. Also, with what I'm seeing about with this, you know, we were talking about the Hanna virus and stuff like that, right? I just think it's important. And you know, throughout COVID and everything, it was taking care of your immune system. You know, eating right, taking supplements, whatever you got to do to take care of your immune system, I think that you are going to be way farther ahead of anybody else if you just do that. And, you know, a lot of people go into a survival situation and they think, you know, I need energy, I need sugar. And, you know, they stockpile, you know, candy bars and they want to, you know, eat junk food. Or, you know, this food that is loaded with soy or, you know, to get their calories. I mean, stuff that people want to do that they think that they need to do, but they're not used to eating it, and it's going to tax their immune systems, and it's going to make them feel like crap. And, you know, I number one, I think it's just, you know, take care of your immune system, take care of your health. You know, vitamin C, vitamin D, some of the basics is so important, especially in a situation where you can't go to the market, you're not eating fresh salads, you're not eating stuff out of your garden. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. I mean, I'm just throwing different situations out there. But if you're not getting, you know, the nutrients that you need out of the food that you're eating, your immune system's going to take a toll. And I think that is going to be huge. I think it's huge right now. And I think people need to be working on that kind of stuff. You know, health is, you know, if you get sick and your immune system's good, you just, the amount of recovery time is, drastically reduced. I mean, and, you know, I've noticed that, you know, we have what, you know, what I would call healthy children. And the difference is, you know, when our children get sick, and it's not that they don't get sick. It's not that their immune systems, but I think that their immune systems, when they get sick, they build the antibodies to it and they don't get the same thing over and over. And what I've noticed is
that's right.
Just the way that, you know, what we do with our children. Our children, they'll get sick, but they're sick for maybe a day or maybe 2 days. And they might have one day that they're feeling really crummy, and the next day they're feeling pretty darn good. And by the third day, you know, they're over it. Where the neighbor kids who are eating just, you know, junk food and not taking care of, not doing anything, they might be sick for a week, 10 days, and it's still lingering in 2 weeks. And you know, oh, they're still sick. I hear it all the time. Oh, they're still sick. They're still sick. They're still sick. And it's like, and that's the difference. I mean, that's, you know, eating right, you know, taking care of your immune system and having some of those staples in your life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Absolutely. I'll throw on top of that, go outside and get some sunshine too.
Yes, I agree.
Run around barefoot a little bit. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, guys, thanks for being here. We're out of time.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Remnant. Talk to you later. Bye.